I think we were talking a little bit just now about monkhood and temples and whether there's any advantage in monkhood. And also before that, we were just talking a little bit about whether there is some benefit in visiting temples, and we're talking about Carmen's experiences and about different extremes of ideas about some people think that it's necessary to discuss and talk more about the realities now. And we had some discussions about what it means to be present or living in the present, because even in the meditation temples, they talk about being in the present. So these are some of the points that have been discussed.
What is a temple?
The temple I stayed?
Yes.
Chamtong. It's it's in Chamtong. It's near Chiang Mai.
Yes. But what does it mean, temple?
Oh, what temple means?
Why do you call it temple? See, we just talk about that. We don't understand what it is.
It is just a word.
Just temple.
Yeah.
But in truth, who lives in a temple?
Yeah.
Or no one.
Yeah. You can say it on a daily words, it's monks and nuns. But if we go to the Amidama and the absolute truth, it's just a lot of moments.
It's just a place to live, but not for the lay people, right?
There are people staying there that are lay people.
Usually it's not the place for lay people at all. Like in the Buddha's time, only Buddha and his monks. What for to live there?
It is in there's an international part, and there next to the temple officially, and there we
is it right from the very beginning to live in the temple when that person is not monk or nun? Or usually in the Buddha's time they live separately.
Mm-hmm. Here they live separately too. There is it's just outside the temple, but still there are lay people around.
What for again?
They're all interested in Buddhism and the teaching and practicing meditation. I don't dare to say it here, but that's what we do there.
Is it not enough listening and then go back home instead of staying for lay people?
It's a different. It's different to be at
now,
home,
but not in the Buddha's time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we follow the teachings?
Sorry?
Do we follow the teachings? Not go back home. Listening to Dhammas and then stay there.
Yeah, but when home is in another country, it is.
It doesn't matter, but at the temple, the same place as mine. Even the nuns do not stay at the temple where monks stay. They go back to the place. But now, difference. Why it's different from the old days at the time of the Buddha?
Why it's different is the question. Things change.
From understanding to misunderstanding.
How can I say that? But isn't it being a monk or a meichi or being a lay person? It's all conventional in a way. So, I, this heap of Paramattha Dhammas, I see just people that are interested in the Dhamma gathering in a certain place. Like we go on pilgrimage.
Like now.
Yes.
Not a temple.
Yes, true. True. Same.
And then you go back home. Do not stay here. Right?
Just there is a bed, maybe.
Even it's not the temple, see. Yeah. So when it's a temple, lay people cannot stay there. They have their home, their place to go, to live. The point of going there is to understand the truth. Right? But not stay there. To be truthful to the point of why do one go to temple?
I'm not staying in the temple.
Yeah.
It's a side temple to make it a little bit. So.
But the other people, we talk about those who stay in the temple.
There are people that doing a meditation retreat there and they stay.
So what is meditation? The big subject.
So they're
very big subject.
Yes, it's a big subject. Yeah.
Lucky they've got 2 days.
So short.
Yeah, I know.
If we don't know what meditation is, how can we develop meditation or practices or whatever you like to use the word?
But for me, meditation is being, how do you say that? Being aware. And we discussed it before already. I can be aware in a temple, but also in my daily life here, I can be aware of my nerves.
So listening to the teachings just to be aware or to understand the truth.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Just going to the temple just to be aware or to understand the truth. The point of listening to the teachings to understand the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to be aware without any understanding.
True. Yeah, I agree.
So while one is meditating, what one understands?
I don't know.
What one understands?
Every moment is different, but the present moment and...
Excuse me, are you still interested in meditation?
Yes.
Okay, so we better talk about meditation to be truthful to the truth, to understand what is meant by meditation. In Pali, it is patti, mm-hmm. right? And what is the meaning of patti and the meaning of patti? Otherwise, we don't understand the word.
Mm-hmm.
So what is patti? Patti.
It is, but I'm looking now for the English word. It is, how do you say that? I cannot find the English word, sorry.
Okay. Patti.
The English word.
Well.
Okay.
The translation that I've heard from Ajahn is to reach the particular, literally, paripat. Sometimes we use the word direct understanding, because as we know, there are different levels of understanding. There is understanding at an intellectual level first. And then that, when that is sufficiently developed, it can condition direct understanding. And that's the stage of patipati. But the literal meaning of those terms, as I understand it, I'm not a Pali expert myself, is to reach the particular being the specific realities that are to be known by their characteristic, and to reach meaning to directly experience.
So, Gunasharan, is there anything to reach?
So, it comes back to now, as you agree, because we also discussed whether there's any advantage to having more time, for example, when one's not working or when one's on a retreat for study and practice, as many people think. But as Carmen agrees, actually, there is just the reality now to be reached, to be understood. So no matter whether here or there or at home or at work, there is seeing now, there is hearing now, there's thinking now. And I think Carmen appreciates this, and that when one just would like to have more quiet time, usually it's Lobha that would like the quiet environment or the seclusion. But sometimes there may also be the idea that a certain situation is preferable. And what often people say is, well, like now we come to have a discussion, and it may seem to some people that these are different extremes. Like some people say that one has to study and understand more about reality now, and others talk about going on retreats and having quiet environments. And I think Carmen feels that there should be more than one way, different approaches. But what we're saying is that the true meaning of the patipati, conditioned by the pariyatti, is not practice in the sense of doing something like people usually understand, but it is the conditioned understanding to understand what is real, what appears now. And just to talk about being aware in the present of the present is not adequate, because what is the present? Some people think that lifting the cup slowly and carefully is being in the present, or eating one's food very slowly and deliberately is being in the present. But being in the present is not a matter of changing one's activities, going somewhere special, coming here or going there. But it is the beginning of understanding that what is real arises and falls away and is not self. And I know Carmen agrees this with this, that all dharmas are anatta, not in anyone's control. And I know she also appreciates that when someone goes somewhere to focus on a particular object and try to be aware, that this is the idea of atta, the idea of I doing something. Is that a fair summary, Carmen?
Thank you so much.
Is there anything to be reached or attained now? Nothing. Is that patti? Patti. Patti is to reach. Reach what? The false or the truth. So, but now it means that now, what is there that should be reached? It's not reached yet, right? So that is the meaning of patti, to reach, to attain, to get closer, to understand the truth of that object. So now, is there anything that should be reached? Seeing, what is the truth of it? They're seeing right now. What is the truth of seeing to be reached? It shouldn't be reached. So what did Buddha thought about? Pariyatti, about seeing, hearing, why? Why did he talk about this? What for? Is here and is now. Why did Buddha talk about it or preach or just say many words about the truth of even just seeing in this moment? because no one understands the truth of seeing at all. So what is the truth that should be reached or attained? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, whatever is there now. Buddha said all dhammas are very, very subtle. What does it mean? Where's dhamma? Is seeing not a dhamma? Hearing not a dhamma? Hardness, softness, are they not dhamma? All adhammas, whatever is real, is a dhamma. So even seeing right now, who reached the truth of it? So patipatti is to reach, patti is to attain or to reach the truth of patti, particular object, only one at a time. At moment of understanding the truth of seeing, it's not the moment of understanding hearing or sound at all. Just one reality at a time. Otherwise, it's not clear. It's not that particular reality that had been attained at all, if there's not enough understanding. That's why just hearing the word Buddha, who knows him? Just the word Buddha, who knows what that person is? Long, long time ago, all words we heard now came from his enlightenment of the truth of whatever is there, no matter in what world, at any time. So now there is I see. Buddha didn't say that at all. He said that seeing is seeing. It means that seeing does not belong to anyone at all. So seeing is only seeing. Seeing here, seeing there, seeing outside, seeing on the plane. See, seeing is seeing. No matter cat, dog, snake, sees. Seeing cannot be changed at all. If it doesn't arise at all, can they be seen right now? If seeing does not arise. So now, seeing has arisen. And who knows? As Buddha said, as soon as seeing has arisen, it falls away instantly. Can that be directly, particularly understood of seeing, just seeing? See? Even so, the rapidity of the succession of realities arising and falling away conditioned the nimitta, image of seeing, not only one seeing at all, right now. How many moments of seeing, everything. That's why seeing can be known, no matter when, as nimitta of the arising and falling away of a kind of reality which arises to see only and then falls away. Is that not true? To reach the understanding, this is the first level of understanding. Otherwise, even Buddha taught about the truth of everything. It's not known because it's not the object of wise considering about the nature of that which has enlightened by the Buddha. So now, is seeing permanent? Can we attain, reach the truth, the moment of one nimitta of a reality? Because now there are so many, many nimittas of everything. So can only one nimitta of a reality be reached? So why patipatti? Why do we go to the temple, try to know what? No point.
Would you like to ask your question about anatta and the dying each moment and the
question? I have a question. As I'm listening to you over and over again, you talk a lot about every moment, like split seconds, and basically every moment we're dying, rising, ceasing, rising, ceasing. And even when we are dying at that moment, you often say there is no, and then you say a name, there is no anymore. let's say no Sarah, say Carmen.
No Sarah, no Ludovic.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Even now.
Even now. So it's like this. But when the Buddha talked to the Devas and he recognized one of these Devas as his previous mom, I was wondering what in that Deva was recognized by the Buddha as his mom, as his mother.
Did Buddha only understand few things?
No, a lot. But still.
Yeah.
Still, even though he had a way, way more brighter, and that's even an understatement, way of looking at things and understanding things, he recognized something in that Deva as, oh, it was my mom before.
Who's the Buddha?
Even the Buddha is just not an I, is not a person, is just a
did he enlighten the truth of everything?
Of everything? Ooh.
Yeah.
That I don't know, but I think at least at a lot.
So otherwise he wouldn't be Buddha if he didn't realize the truth of everything.
Everything, okay. Mm.
Would the Buddha see the past?
Yes.
So you say he recognized in the Deva there, but not necessarily, because if he could see the past succession of that Deva, then he would be able to identify different individuals.
But then the answer is what he recognized was the past succession. Do you understand what I mean? Try to point out.
For me, it's simply like if a person can know the past, they could know, for example, the person we take as Carmen, what they were in the previous lifetime. Not from looking at Carmen, but from the developed understanding of being able to directly know the past.
Yes, okay. But there is then, in that way you put it, sort of a continuum. While on the other hand, we say every moment, and we talked about it, is it sort of
there
the defilements that are...
a continuum, yes. A particular stream of consciousness. Yes, exactly. Is that a problem?
No problem.
I think this is what we also discussed. So, yes, the Buddha's omniscient wisdom can understand rebirths that other kinds of wisdom couldn't understand. But your question is, because actually there's no being now, so what about the being in the future? But the cittas with dosa now are accumulated. The cittas with understanding accumulated and condition more such accumulations in future. So there comes to be the one we know as Jonathan or Suchin because of the visible objects, the sounds, the accumulations, or the memory which marks and remembers all these details, which conditions the thinking about this or that being. We know in truth that now there is no being. There are just these different realities. But there are reasons why there comes to be thinking of Jonathan different from Suchin, because of different accumulated tendencies, different visible objects seen, different sounds heard, and so on. So this is why we can say this is the Jonathan who we saw yesterday. Actually, there was no Jonathan yesterday and there's no Jonathan today. But because of the realities which have been conditioned, there comes to be the thinking of this one or that one. And there can be that thinking with right or wrong view. So the Buddha can talk about teaching his mother in the Deva realm, the one that was known as his mother, in the Deva realm without any wrong understanding. But for most people who read it, they will think about a being and someone existing. So it always comes back to how the teachings are read and understood. We talked about Carmen is studying Pali. And we talked about how even if one's a Pali expert, one can misunderstand all the teachings, but it can be helpful in understanding terms and words if there is understanding.
Even Jiratan's answer of Sarah's words, does it help to understand the truth of this moment? Even Jonathan and Sarah said about the truth of the Buddha's enlightenment or his great wisdom, does it condition the understanding of the truth of this moment?
I hope so. I don't know.
Really? So, what is there?
Ajahn is saying quite true that what your question and our answer don't help with the understanding of what is appearing at the present moment, right? It's that discussion we just had is not about understanding now, is it? Was it? Or do you see it as related?
But on the other hand, if I understood you correctly, is that listening to the Dhamma can condition understanding.
What? Understanding what?
The moment, the present moment. Listening hearing, to Dhamma, seeing, smelling.
Condition the understanding of Dhamma. Right?
Yes.
So what is Dhamma? What is Dhamma now?
What is Dhamma now?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking.
Okay. So is there any understanding of thinking at the moment while we talk about Deva and Buddha and the mom's person?
No.
See?
So I think behind Carmen's question, in all fairness to it, is a doubt, because people might say, we pay respects to, or we share merit with Lodovic in another realm, or with someone who has passed away, or we talk about the Buddha's mother that he talked about in this realm. So it makes it sound like there is a being or a person there. But actually, as she said at the start, there's just a moment of consciousness arising and falling away. There's no being now. And there's no being in the next life. There's no Buddha's mother, because this is the same stream of consciousness, but another being as is known. There is no person at all. So when we read or hear about these expressions, it can cause some confusion. So I think behind the question is a question of what is meant when we talk about the Buddha's mother, for example.
So now, what is Dhamma?
Like in this moment, Dhamma?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking?
Yes. Is there any understanding of thinking?
No, not at this moment.
That's why we talk about thinking. Yeah. Can a table think? Why not? No consciousness? So what is a consciousness?
What is consciousness?
Chitta is something that that knows.
That's why we're talking about the word, the story of what is there, but not the characteristic of that which is now appearing, but no understanding of the truth of it, of the characteristic. For example, what is seeing? Seeing? How can be the answer? What is seeing? Because now seeing seems, but nobody understands the characteristic of seeing as seeing. That's why one thinks all the time that I see. But the truth, in truth, seeing cannot be I at all. To learn to understand the absolute truth of anything which is now appearing. There's seeing, no understanding of seeing. There's thinking, like you said, no understanding of thinking. There is hearing, no understanding of sound and hearing. In life, each moment, no understanding of what is there. So very short, only when it appears. Just consider the truth of what is now appearing. it's through only when it's there appearing. Is that your arm? Why not?
Arm is like the daily, how do you say that, conventional truth, conventional speaking.
So what is the absolute truth of it now?
There is no arm.
So what is there? No arm, but what is there?
There is touching.
Okay. Touch what? What is touch?
Hardness.
Okay. Is there any understanding of hardness?
Not so much.
That's why we learn to understand the absolute of Buddha had enlightened about what is there as hardness. When there's no understanding, it's taken from my finger, my arm, my head. But in truth, is there I or anyone without all those absolute realities arising and falling away in split seconds? And this is Dhamma. No matter in heaven, Buddha went to see his mother. What is the absolute truth?
Just Dhamma's arising and ceasing.
Otherwise, there must be the idea of people and things in life, on and on and on. That's why we have to understand pariyatti before patipatti.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, no understanding of seeing, and one thinks that one is patipatti.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not patipatti because no pariyatti.
Yeah.
Just to give Carmen a little break, I think she's ready for Jagrit. Would you like to add any comments? Or I don't know if Dream would like to ask any questions before we invite those on Zoom to join in.
I have a question about death. I've been listening to you guys talking on YouTube, and Kunina has been asking a lot about death, and I've been trying to understand, but I'm not quite there yet. So could you elaborate on death, please? I understand that there's death in every moment, but what is the death of the rupa that we call body?
There are three kinds of death. So the death you just mentioned, which Chanti was also referring to, is the arising and falling away now. So in the absolute sense, the rupa of what we call the body, the seeing now, the hearing now, each reality that is conditioned and rises and falls away. So there is death of each moment, of each consciousness, each citta, death of each chetasika accompanying it at each moment. The rupas of the body, the rupas that we call eye sense, or ear sense, each one arises and falls away, dies at each moment. They last a little longer than the cheetahs and cheetah seekers, but still, immediately they are dying at each moment. So this is death in the absolute sense. And when there is the real understanding of death of the absolute realities, then there will be the appreciation that what we call death conventionally, the end of this life of Jonathan or John or anyone, it's a conventional death because the last citta is followed by the next citta, just like now. The rupas arise and fall away, just like now. Seeing and hearing arises and falls away, just like now. So it's actually a conventional term referring to the passing away of those cheetahs that we are used to in this life calling Ajahn or Jonathan. But actually there is no Ajahn or Jonathan even now. So by understanding the absolute sense of death now and appreciating that there is no one now, one can understand at the end of life, there's also no one. It's still just one citta conditioning the next one on and on. So this is the second meaning of death, And the third meaning of death is the parinibbana, the final passing away of the arahat. The last moment of consciousness is not followed by another moment of consciousness. The flame has been completely extinguished. Ignorance and attachment have been completely eradicated. So no conditions for more rebirth, for life to continue on. So I think that to understand death, we have to come back to this moment to understand what is dying now. So at the end of this life, we call the last moment the death consciousness, the chuti-chitta, which is followed by the patisandhi-chitta. But in a sense, it's just like now, like when we travel from one country to another. Actually, the experience is the same. They're still seeing, they're still hearing, but we call one country the Netherlands and one country Thailand. But actually, life carries on just the same as before, just a different name for a different country, a different personality, a different being, but in fact still just cheetahs and cheetah seekers and rupas arising and falling away.
As Sarah explained, you asked about the death of the conventional body or person. It is just a moment of consciousness, the last moment of consciousness of this life, and followed immediately by the first moment of the next life. Ironically, death is a moment of life, just like now, but it has a different function, because the moments now are like seeing and hearing and thinking. The last moment of life, there's a moment of consciousness that has the function of being the end of that lifespan. That's all. At that moment, the consciousness leaves the body and there's a separation at the moment. Some parts of the body are conditioned by past karma, like the faculties of seeing and hearing. And when that karma reaches its full purpose, it can no longer condition those functions. That will be the moment when the death consciousness occurs. Does it help, though, to know this? Because Ajahn might say, is it relevant to understanding the present moment, or is it curiosity, or what is your interest in this question?
I think I'm interested in how we are scared of death.
Scared of death.
And or old age. Because somehow it's a concept for dying. As we grow old, the death comes closer. And I know it's a concept, but there's no understanding of the truth, and that makes me scared. So I guess your question was, is it helpful to understand this moment better? I think it helps, because there's already death every moment, and that's what I conceptualize as death. It's just another kind of death that you guys explained.
So Jan asked another friend, when you go to sleep at night, are you afraid of falling asleep?
I like that one.
Yeah, because actually it is just another moment like that. The death consciousness is just like the Bhavanga Cheetahs when fast asleep, and no one's afraid of going to sleep, having a deep sleep, and followed by the moments of deep sleep, followed by different moments of consciousness. So the more understanding there is of the Paramatta Dhamma, then the less fear there is of the whole dream, whole story about what death is. Would you like to add anything? And then I think afterwards we can let the patient Zoom people join in.
Great patience to understand what is there now. I think that everyone begins again and begins again and begins again, as long as there is no understanding of what is there now. We can use the term seeing, there's seeing, but what is the understanding of seeing? Seeing is there. Just seeing as usual. So is there any truth of seeing now to be known, or just no understanding as before? Begin again and again and again until there can be the understanding of the characteristic, the truth of no matter what we just said. Seeing arises and falls away, never to return, never to arise again. That is momentarily death of seeing. So whatever arises falls away instantly, succeeded by the next one, instantly. What appears is only the image, the nimitta of a reality. Like, what is there now? See, everyone knows it's seeing, but that is only the image of the arising and falling away of that which is conditioned to arise just to see and then gone instantly, never to return. Begin again about how many and how much understanding of seeing right now, or just the word, but no, truthful to the truth that it has to be known as it is. Otherwise, it's not the understanding of the absolute truth. It's just learn about it, understand that it's not permanent, but now it is permanent and it can be directly experienced. That is meant enlightenment of the Patipatti and the Pativeda, enlighten the truth of what is there without any expectation, because we have to understand anything that we are talking about, like expectation. What is it? What is it? What is it? The truth of that is all the time, as is there, unknown. So the teachings of the Buddha just disclose the hidden truth. Right now, the arising and falling away of seeing is covered up by thinking a lot about the other reality, which follows instantly, succeeding all the time from morning up to now, and now on and on. That's why even to understand the truth of seeing is not easy. It takes how long for Buddha to become enlightened, seeing as it arises and falls away. And all dhammas in a day, whatever arises, all sankhara dhamma, anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. We heard a lot about anicchang. When someone dies, anicchang. But what about now? Seeing now dies, never to return. And is that not true? Not just to believe, but to understand the truth that nobody can change the characteristic of any reality at all. Because what we say, or what we call seeing, is a reality. It's real because it now arises and it sees now. How come? With our conditions, without the eye base, without that which impinges on the eye base, how can they be seeing right now in a moment and then gone? The reality which experiences the object before seeing does not see, because it's not seeing. And the citta, we call it citta, that which arises and experiences an object. And the next citta does not see, but it experiences the same object as long as the object is still there, not fall away yet. Is this true or not true? To understand the truth at level of intellectual understanding. Because it's there arising and falling away. That's why it is intellectual understanding. Because it's not the moment of directly understand the moment that it arises and then it falls away. So we understand each word of the Buddha, pariyatti, patipatti, and pativeda. Without pariyatti, to be so keen and understand the truth wisely, perfectly, how can it condition moment of directly understand it right now? Because while we are talking about seeing right now, there are other things not being aware of seeing only at all. Because right understanding is not enough to condition direct awareness to seeing with understanding little by little. From hearing that it's not enough because it's not just thinking at moment of being aware that it's a reality, but at that moment one understands the characteristic of right understanding, it's not strong enough to let go, seeing which sees, and then other thing arises in between seeing, right now, in between seeing, thinking is there, hearing is there. And all these are absolute realities, one by one. And this is the teaching of the Enlightened One to help or condition to share his wisdom to the other, to condition understanding little by little, to become enlightened as he had enlightened the truth of this moment, of all dhammas. So we begin to understand what is meant by dhamma, reality. It's real now, but what is it? If we don't use any word, any term for it, seeing sees, but who knows what we're talking about? That's why we use the word to understand it. Just represent the characteristic of the reality to be known as what we mean. When we talk about seeing, we don't think about hearing. See? And is there any understanding of seeing as we just have heard about it's not permanent, it's conditioned, it sees and then it's gone. Thinking is not seeing. Different reality. Can it be controlled? Can anyone make it arise? That is the meaning of Dhamma. A reality conditioned to arise, to see, to hear, to think, even to think. Any reality in the day are covered up with by ignorance, no understanding of the truth. So meditation, how come to understand what is there now, as Buddha taught? Would you like to go again? To meditate, to be truthful to the truth, the teachings of the Buddha about this moment.
Anyway, it's conditioned.
Yes, right or wrong. See, to be truthful to the truth, the truth. That's why understanding the truth first. What is true now and what is the truth of what is there now as it is. Not last, change from moment to moment. Never be the same. Even seeing itself is not the same. Different moments, different ones. That's why just go somewhere and no understanding of what is there. Is that the teaching of the Buddha? Did he say to anyone who came to visit him, go somewhere, go to this and that, and just concentrate on any subject you choose, depending on the teachings of that teacher, which is not the Buddha's teaching?
But I see meditation not as much as concentrating on a subject, but more as the rising and ceasing, to be aware, you know, to see it more, see it. I can do that in daily life too. I agree.
Okay, what is that? What is that? That you just concentrate on it or think about it?
No.
Or consider it?
No.
So what?
Just sit and
now, please.
This moment?
Yeah. Any moment.
Any moment.
So now?
Thinking again.
Okay. What is thinking? What is thinking? What did Buddha say about thinking?
Thinking is really complex.
Can it be known as just thinking?
Just pure thinking? No.
Do you know what citta is?
Citta is that one knows, which knows.
Okay. What is citta? What is a citta?
It's Dhamma.
Can anyone understand? Can anyone understand when you say that it's Dhamma? Dhamma, do they understand what Dhamma is? When you say that it's Dhamma, does anyone understand what Dhamma is? To be truthful is very important to understand the truth. That's why it is parami. Without it, impossible to understand the truth of anything. That's why not just belief, but hearing, considering whether it's true or not. So what is thinking and what is a citta, consciousness?
That's a real deep question.
To be known.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not any understanding at all. And it is the Buddha's word too.
But what is citta? I do not come further than that which knows.
Can attachment know anything?
It needs a lot of...
Attachment is attached to an object.
Yes.
So it experiences that object with attachment.
Yes.
Is it citta?
Yes.
Attachment? Lobha?
Lobha is chetasika, you mean?
Use the term, but what is the difference between citta and chetasikas? That's why there is cittanupasana sthipatthana, see? Without the understanding of citta as it is, there cannot never be cittanupasana sthipatthana, not the word, but the truth. Why is citta nupasana sthipatthana, not other reality?
Lost me here, I'm sorry. I didn't get the last point.
I think Ajahn is asking about the difference between...
Ajahn is asking about the difference between citta and cetasika. If there was no difference, why would we read about cittanupassana in the Satipatthana Sutta? Because this is referring to the awareness and understanding of citta itself. So her question was, what is citta that is different, distinct from cetasika? Because you mentioned that it knows. Well, we can say experiences. So the citta experiences an object, but cetasikas like attachment also experience an object. So any namas experience an object. So what is different, what is distinct about the citta from the cetasikas? You're doing very well, Carmen. You have the whole world's sympathy. Don't worry, you're doing fine.
I would say that, as far as I know, that citta is...
Your own understanding.
Yes.
Okay, not the Buddha.
Yes,
teaching.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Citta comes with cetasikas. And cetasikas, they arise and they cease together. And cetasikas have characteristics, different characteristics. And the citta is, the holder, the leader, the, I don't know how to say it. And then,
concept.
This is concept. This is concept for sure. Yeah.
Can citta be the object of understanding?
What does it mean?
Can it? How? You said just a moment ago. What did you say?
Sweating.
Very hot seat here.
I think she said citta is the leader. So Ajahn is asking, can jitta be known as the leader? Can it be understood as the leader?
Not directly by me.
Did Buddha say? What did Buddha say? Did he say that jitta cannot be known?
But the question was, can jitta be known as the leader?
It's correct, because jitta cannot be the other reality.
Maybe we can just talk about seeing now. So what is the nature of seeing that is different from the nature of ekagata or pasa or the other citta seekers that arise with? What is the characteristic of seeing which sees now? Seeing now, it's a reality. It's the citta which experiences what is visible. Is it possible to understand seeing now?
Yeah.
I think this is the question. So it doesn't matter about all the different words we use, but the citta, such as seeing or hearing, it's a reality that can be understood right now, no matter whether we're in the temple or in the city, like you agreed. Seeing is just seeing, and there can be understanding of its nature right now when there has been the wise considering and understanding. And like you said before, it's a dhamma. It's not self, not my seeing. It's just the reality now which sees.
Okay. But I lost it when it was the citta is the, can you be aware of the citta as a leader? That I cannot, because I think, it's too precise.
Yes. Well, I think the point was that when at a moment of seeing, it is the seeing which experiences the visible object.
Yeah.
It leads the other factors that arise with it to experience. It just means it is the nature of citta at this moment. I think.
Can it be known citta itself? Can citta be the object of understanding because it's a reality? How? How can it be known? Like other things, like hearing, hardness, they are there. How can it be known as it is, as not me, not table, not anything? And that is the word of the Buddha, the teachings of the truth of all realities.
I think some time ago you mentioned panya, right? And Ajahn's question now is, in effect, what are the conditions for that panya to arise? Because the panya will have as its object citta or cittasika or rupa, right? Are we agreed on that? Yeah. And that's Ajahn's question.
When Jonathan said panya, you understand. But when we talk about the understanding, the truth right now, we don't use the word panya. You said it's very difficult to understand.
But still the truth is difficult to understand.
Because the word is easy to understand.
The word.
But the truth is not as easy at all.
Exactly.
That's why when someone say, what is there now? Thinking. They understand thinking as they think, but no understanding of the truth of thinking at all. Otherwise, what's the enlightenment of the Buddha? What did he enlighten? Now or not now? The past gone. The future hasn't come yet. What is there is only what is there now. No matter pariyatti or patipatti or pativeda. When people heard the teachings, they thought that they would go somewhere to experience it. But what about the subtlety of the words of truth? Because the truth is so very subtle. Why? It's here and now. Nobody understands its nature as it is. That it's not anyone. It is conditioned to arise. with our conditions. Can seeing arise? Hearing, thinking. See, even thinking is conditioned. But what is citta? And what is the other mental factors which is not citta? See? Otherwise, it's I see, I think.
It doesn't matter if the thinking now is thinking with nervousness or there's agitation or whatever the reality is. Because actually, as you said, it's a Dhamma. It's not my agitation or nervousness. And the understanding can be right now. The thinking is just thinking and it's gone. The nervousness is just gone instantly. None of it belongs to me. It's not a matter of being aware of calmness or kindness or good qualities, but it's a matter of understanding whatever is conditioned right now. And there is only this moment. So seeing, hearing, whatever is conditioned.
I think that it's happy times to understand the truth. Very happy.
I was just remarking maybe that what I take from Carmen's hot seat, sympathizing, that it may be a good question that before a week of sitting in meditation and after a week of sitting in meditation, to ask very honestly and consider whether we know more about seeing right now. And that's all I wanted to share.
Can we talk about just one word or one reality at a time? Otherwise, there cannot be precise understanding. For example, while one is sitting, meditating, what is that?
Right now, I know that it's only thinking that I am aware, but it's not awareness at all. So I'm not meditating anymore since I understood that.
Not now, just what one means, what do you mean, sitting, meditating?
I think it's sitting and liking to have the eyes closed and just loba for that.
What Buddha said about sitting, what is that?
It's a kanda, a rupa, a reality. Well, sitting, of course, is concept, but behind it, there's a reality.
Can there be the understanding of the reality while there is sitting? Is that
it can happen by, it can happen. Panya would know, but now I cannot.
Yes. Now there is sitting. Is there any reality at all?
Yes.
What reality is there? Sitting.
Right now, a hardness.
So,
hardness. But it is thinking of it.
And what's the point of meditating? Can there be the understanding of hardness because hardness is there at moment of sitting? They can or cannot?
No.
Cannot understanding the nature of that which sits?
Not by sitting.
I think this
it doesn't matter.
That Shanti was raising with Carmen, that after a week of sitting meditation practice, is there any more understanding of seeing than there was before?
Yeah, but I just want to understand each word and one word at a time to understand is there any reality at moment of sitting. Should it be known or sit? No, not necessary to understand what it's sitting and then just try to understand the other thing. To be truthful to the truth. Each moment is a reality arising and falling away. So what is there? There must be a reality at moment of sitting.
Yes.
Should it be known instead of practicing or meditating about other things?
Always there should be known a reality, but I cannot pinpoint sitting.
No understanding of reality.
Yes.
But you said about hardness.
Well, that moment, I just felt the table.
Okay, but what did Buddha say about the absolute truth of what we say a table?
That it's concept. The absolute truth is a rupa.
Without hardness, can there be table? Without hardness, can be a glass. Without hardness, can be a pen. Yeah. So it's there. Should it be known? Hardness.
It can be known.
Should it? Or neglect it?
No, not really neglect.
So at moment of sitting, and what is meditating, not understanding hardness there, or what is there as it is. So it's just the word meditating, not understanding what is there as the truth at that very moment.
Yes.
That's why the teachings of the Buddha is so very, very subtle. And this is the only way to go on the path to understanding the absolute truth, the Four Noble Truths, at moment of understanding of what is there. Not just one try to meditate on this and that, because at that moment the five khandhas are taking for I. And I'm meditating, see, not understanding what is there.
Yes.
By conditions, not at will.
Exactly. And that's the same topic as yesterday, that a characteristic is only the characteristic when it appears, but it's not the characteristic when I think I right now know the characteristic of hardness. That's thinking.
That's why we talk about the truth in life. As Buddha had enlightened, not only the concept, without absolute reality, there can never be any concept at all, without seeing, hearing. So what is there that can be known? According to Satipatthana, Kayanupassana Satipatthana, sitting there, what is true? What should be known? Cittanupassana Satipatthana, there is citta at that moment, shouldn't be known, or try to meditate. No understanding of what is there. So it's against the teaching of the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell anyone to go anywhere to meditate on such and such at will. No understanding of anathema.
I agree, it should be known.
By conditions.
Exactly. And it's not happening, but it should be still the only purpose, not by anyone, by condition.
And,
yes.
And what is the condition to understand the truth of what we say, sitting, hardness there?
Well, the only condition is understanding.
And
before that is hearing and considering the Dhamma by the true words of the Buddha. Yeah.
Until
there's maybe development, if there are right conditions for understanding intellectually.
Not forgetting that hardness should be known as it is because it's there. Condition moment of direct awareness of hardness. Now there are moment of experiencing hardness, but not enough confidence of the truth. It should be known because it's there, not other thing. But we think of other thing, which is not there. So how can there be moment of understanding the natural conditions for everything to be there? And this is the very, very subtle path leading to experiencing the Four Noble Truths. The fourth truth is the subtle path. Now, at moment of letting go ignorance, what can be known now and how can it be known? Without the pariyatti, it's impossible, not at will, to go somewhere and think that I can do or I'm doing, I'm choosing something to be known. No understanding of anatomies at all.
Yes, thank you.
I think that first of all, we should understand what is meant by the enlightened one. Great understanding of whatever is now. Seeing arises and falls away now. Who knows? The subtlety. This is just the surface of what is there appearing deeply down to the moment when it's there. arising and falling as no table, no thing, no one at all. Only one characteristic of our reality is the object. Closer, closer to the moment when it's there and when it's gone.
From reading from Survey of Paramattha Dhammas, the cycle of birth and death, about Sankara, the karma formations are the fruit of avijja, ignorance. And the punyab sankara, the meritorious, the apunyab sankara, and then the imperturbable. But the punyab sankara is also fruit of ignorance. Because, I don't know, I'm trying to wrap my words around these concepts fly so fast. But from the other side of an arahat has eradicated avijja, ignorance, and does neither kusala nor akusala. And the cheetahs are different. The Mahakirya Chitta, the Sobhana Chitta. And for this realm, meritorious acts are the fruit of ignorance, and I have to start somewhere. That is the development of Parami and Panya, which eradicates ultimately, after eons and eons, ignorance. So, I think it's a little bit difficult to grasp that meritorious can't, yeah.
So for the arahat, no more ignorance. So no more karma of any kind, kusala or akusala. But for birth to occur, there must be ignorance. So it's on account of that ignorance that there is karma, kusala or akusala karma. If there was no ignorance, there would be no karma of any kind. So we can say that all conditioned realities, even the greatest panya, even the arupa brahma jhana, vipassana jnanas, all conditioned dharmas arise because of avijja. So avijja is the condition for any kind of karma, which brings its results from life to life. Oh. When there is no more ignorance, no more birth, no more karma of any kind.
Yes, the arahat does have kuti citta, but no patisandhi, no continuing.
Right. And the jhuti citta is the result of previous karma. So even in the case of the Buddha, results of all kinds of previous karma, kusala and akusala karma in the past, bringing its results, but no new karma to bring results. No more conditions for birth to follow death. As you said, the third kind of death.
Yes. And why is it avijja rather than moha used? And I wanted also...
Exactly the same, just different words used in different contexts. Exactly the same meaning.
And I have that same, I'm inclined to say also the Sobhana Chitta and the Mahakirya Chitta same? Or is there a shade of difference that I should...
The Sobhana Chittas refer to all chittas with wholesome roots. So they can be Kusala Chittas, Kriya Chittas of the Arahats, and also Kusala Vipaka Chittas, like even in deep sleep when there are wholesome roots. Yes. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching don't have any roots, so they're not Sobhana Chittas.
Yes,
so it's when there are wholesome roots.
And Aputa
Jhana. Aloba, Adosa, and Panya.
And Aputa Jhana can have or experience the sobhana citta.
So like right now, at moments of understanding, moments of kindness, these are examples of sobhana cittas because they have the wholesome roots. They're beautiful cittas, different from moments of seeing and hearing, which may be results of kusala karma, but no wholesome roots.
Yes, and the vanga cittas are pandaram. All right. So, yes, I like very much in the study of cittas, very important to me somehow.
And when there is confusion, it's also a reality. And there can be understanding right now because it's just another dharma that arises and falls away. So it has to be back to this moment, confusion now, seeing now, understanding, ignorance, just different dharmas arising by different conditions with different names, performing different functions.
And even in doing meritorious deeds, for example, dana, an act of generosity, there will be a moment of pure dana, of generosity, but then there can also be moments prior to or moments afterward. Which, yeah.
And that's why we have to understand about Paramatta Dharmas. For example, yesterday someone said something like, Ajahn is confident in doing good deeds and therefore this will protect from COVID or something like this, because so many misunderstandings and people think of a good deed as giving a talk on Dharma or making an offering, pouring tea for everyone. But as you say, moments of kusala, but who knows what anyone's cittas are at this very moment. So moments of kusala cittas, moments of akusala cittas, moments of vipaka cittas. What is the good deed in absolute reality? We have to talk about the citta and the different cetasikas and have to understand that it's not anyone who does a good deed, not Ajahn, not Jagrit, not anyone, just different dharmas that are conditioned, which arise and condition other dharmas.
Yes, it's interesting your remarks, Sarah, about the COVID and this will protect. I think by all means study dharma and take medicine. Sadly enough, in Japan this year, that it was decided, perhaps the new prime minister was pressured by a third party to hold the Gion Matsuri, which is one of the largest festivals in Japan, and its roots, interestingly enough, were about some centuries ago, that they had to have some sort of a procession or offering at the temple because there was such influenza and people were getting very sick and dying from it. So foolishly, they had the Matsuri this year. And of course, that's a large crowd of people. And the number of COVID cases with the B4 and B5 variants has topped 90,000 cases a day in Japan. And of course, they remain closed.
Like I mentioned, even in the case of the Buddha with the greatest punya and the greatest kusala, it cannot prevent the results of previous karma. So to think that one's kusala now will prevent misfortunes in life is the wrong understanding. Kusala karma will bring its results in due course, who knows when, depending on conditions, but who knows what past karma will bring its results right now.
I have another question about that. In this realm, we can hear the Dharma and we can do meritorious deeds, but in other realms, well, an animal can pull, I mean, dogs are trained in Russia to pull people from burning buildings. So an animal can do a meritorious deed, yes. But in other realms, is it possible to do a meritorious deed?
So many stories about different realms. But what are they? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. Six stories only, no matter where. If there is the understanding of all these realities, there's no doubt about seeing in heaven, seeing in hell, or seeing in this world. or seeing that out of the room, on the street, and so on. When we talk just about seeing, it's only seeing. Arising and falling away, this is the way to understand the absolute truth. No one there at all. See? That's why just the word seeing and hearing about it's a reality which can experience an object, that is not enough. It has to go deeper, deeper, deeper to the truth of the moment when it's there without other reality. At moment of seeing, there must be only seeing and the object which is seen. Imagine the truth. So what appears now does not appear as it is, permanent, no arising and falling away, but in truth to let go the idea of things or people, there must be the understanding of one reality at a time. And when it's only one at a time, imagine nothing around. So it appears well, because it's only one there to be known. Can it be that, like that? Otherwise, why do we listen to the teachings of the Buddha from Pariyatti? Have confidence of the truth. The truth cannot be changed at all. See now, it's there. It's not hearing. It's not thinking. And it's there only when the object which is seen appears. Patience, confidence, and virya, see, courageous. All kinds of parami to let go, ignorance and clinging to the whatever appears now. Otherwise, one cannot understand the greatest understanding of wisdom of the Buddha at all. It seems like anyone can say, oh, there's no one. It's a reality. Seeing, is conditioned to us. That's all. But in truth, with our firm confidence that that moment which appears as the nimitta of a reality. Now there are nimittas of many, many things around. But what about nimitta of one reality? Because one single moment of seeing cannot be the object of understanding. By way of processes, there must be citta before and citta after, things which does not see. Only one moment of seeing. But now, how many moments? Can anyone count? Like counting the rainfall? Impossible. Right? But who knows? There can be such understanding because reality arises only one at a time by nimitta, not the real one, single one.
So excuse my word choice because I'm very new to this, but I'm wondering if every moment is conditioned by the past moment. So I'm just wondering if we really have a choice. If in the past moment it's conditioned for me to do bad things and it kept conditioning me to do other akusala things, and what is the changing point of me accumulating good things?
We have to understand what is there now, a reality, right? And for the reality which arises to experience an object, as soon as it has fallen away, it conditions the next one to arise by conditions. And Buddha taught about all conditions for whatever arises, not just one condition. And that one is anantarapajya. As soon as one moment of a reality which experience an object has fallen away, it conditioned the next one instantly, no gap in between. So now, no gap.
The wise considering now, the understanding now about what is reality at this moment, is that understanding that considering a condition for more understanding in future?
Yes.
And when there's understanding, no akusala at those moments. So can we say the understanding is a condition for less akusala, for more goodness, because the understanding understands what is wholesome, what is unwholesome, what is worthy, and it understands that these realities are not self. So the understanding itself now is the condition, not I that chose to understand here, not I that decided no seeing at this moment, but there is understanding. The understanding arises because of conditions, but in itself is a condition for more understanding in future. So whatever arises is by conditions. So we can begin to understand what the different conditions are for more understanding to develop. When there is wishing to understand more, or wishing not to feel nervous, is that wishing a condition for understanding?
No.
No. So by understanding the distinction between the wishing for understanding and the understanding itself, that in itself is a condition for understanding to develop. And we've been talking a lot about different realities now, the nature of citta, the nature of ignorance, the nature of different chetasikas. This is all for the purpose of understanding these different realities as not self, as different kinds of dharmas, because this is the way that understanding can accumulate and develop. But no one can decide to have understanding. No one can make it arise. Just like no one chooses to get angry, but if there are conditions for anger to arise, it arises.
Also, what we conventionally call choice is just another moment of thinking. We may choose to do this or that one moment and for whatever reason not do it. Your question is really about wholesome deeds and unwholesome deeds, or wholesome moments of consciousness and unwholesome moments of consciousness. When it comes to wholesomeness, that can't be chosen in the way that we conventionally use the term. It only arises by conditions. And as Sarah was just saying, reflecting on the benefits of wholesomeness is one condition for some moments of wholesomeness rather than unwholesomeness. But also in the past, because you mentioned the past agusala conditioning, agusala now, but also in the past, not only agusala has been done, but gusala also has been accumulated, because it arises from time to time in daily life by conditions. So when one is polite or considerate or helpful or whatever, there's moments of gusala involved there. Perhaps they're not recognized as such, but it is because of accumulated tendencies from the past that the present will be gusala or agusala. So it's not just the immediately preceding moments that condition what arises next, but it's also the accumulated tendencies that have been accumulated in the past.
Just wondering, Nina, if you have anything you would like to bring up today, or anything you would like to ask today?
Yes, Ajahn has been talking about realities, and we have heard the same thing very often, and still it is like new to me every time I hear it. Maybe I never considered it enough, and it is a reminder to consider it again and again, and it shows how precious it is to listen to Dhamma, I find.
So now, are you meditating?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's never enough, Nina, is it? It's always useful to be reminded.
Yes.
Of what is appearing at the present moment is there to be understood by conditions, and that how the world appears is not the whole picture. that there is more to the reality of the present moment than meets the eye, as it were.
And that's why it seems new to me every time. It seems something new. But of course, I've heard the same thing again. But it is getting more meaningful each time.
That's why we say begin again and again and again, because this moment of seeing is not the moment of seeing, and there's always more to hear and consider. And I think that if one likes to use the word meditating, one can consider whether we can say it a moment of understanding now or moment of awareness at this moment, whether this is meditating too, or whether meditating has to just mean when one has one's eyes closed and one is focusing, or can we call this meditating now?
The first one.
Yes. We can call it meditating, or we can call it developing understanding. It doesn't matter. Bhavana. There can be bhavana now or at any time if there is the understanding of what the realities are in daily life, and if there isn't the idea of trying to focus or trying to concentrate, which, as you said before, is usually with lobha, trying to get a result. So it can be now or any time.
Does Panya know what's right and what's wrong? So what's right? What is right? This moment, what is there?
I'm listening and considering, and for this moment, I think that is right.
No, you.
Yes. There is just listening
what is
and considering.
When it's not you, what is it?
Listening and considering.
What is listening?
Just experiencing the sound.
What experiences?
Chitta experiences.
Only chitta?
No, comes with the chitta sikas.
What are the difference?
Yeah, that's the good. Can you elaborate a little bit more about the difference, maybe?
Again and again, see, no matter how much we pay attention and time to that, but without wise considering to the truth, it's impossible to be truthful to the truth. For example, now, what is there is a reality. Why do we use the word reality? No one. See, no thing. That's why we use the word Dhamma for all kinds of realities. And there is a reality which arises to experience an object. See, there is a reality which arises to experience an object, not like or dislike, just experiencing. For example, seeing arises just to see. Can seeing like something? This is the beginning of understanding Dhamma, to have more confidence of what are there in life from moment to moment, must be different realities unknown without the teachings of the enlightened one. That's why when we say that we know who's the Buddha, is it true? When there's no understanding of what he taught at all. So in order to understand who's the Buddha, there must be understanding what are the words of that person who just taught about the truth, which cannot be known by oneself without hearing and considering. For example, seeing. Who knows that it's not I or anyone? And it's real, so it's a reality. If it does not arise, it cannot experience anything at all. There cannot be anything be known without that which arises to experience. But usually, always forget about the reality which experiences. Just pay attention to what is seen, what is heard all the time. And you heard about cetasika. The difference between citta and cetasika is that each reality must have its own characteristic. For example, anger is not attachment. They are different because of their characteristic and other things like conditions for each one to arise to experience as cetasika. But citta cannot like, cannot dislike, cannot remember, cannot anything at all. It just arises to experience. But it cannot arise alone. There must be conditions for its arising. What are conditions for citta to arise? See, each word should be considered.
Wasn't it like for seeing you need light and you need contact? That are conditions for seeing to arise.
And for other reality?
Other conditions.
Other conditions. Not the same as seeing, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. To understand the difference between citta and cetasika, while both can experience the object. Citta is the chief of experiencing only the characteristic. It is not the chief of understanding or the chief of other reality. Its function is just experiencing the object. For example, this tree, it experienced already the difference between this and that and this. If it does not experience as the chief of experiencing, the difference cannot be known, whether it's blue, light blue, dark blue, or whatever, no word at all. So the cetasika, which experiences the same object as citta, which it arises together, cannot be the chief of experiencing. It's not the cetasika's function. But each cetasika has its own function, like passa cetasika, the feeling, vedana cetasika, and so on. So no doubt about the difference between citta and cetasika? No doubt? Okay, that's why there is another word for citta, pandara. Pandara is the word just for citta alone. We don't use the word pandara to be cetasika or any cetasika. It's only citta, which is the chief of experiencing. It is not unwholesome or wholesome. Just experience the object. So even akusala cetasikas arise with citta. Citta is pandara. But since citta is accompanied by cetasika, we call that citta to make it known as it has that kind of cetasika arising with as lopa mula citta. Dosa mula citta. Mm-hmm. Is it a little clear about the difference between the two? Can citta arise alone? Can cetasika arise alone? Now, we are talking about saha chata paccaya, but we don't use the name yet. But that's the meaning of whatever arises together, saha, together, and chati is arising. So whatever arises together is by way of saha chata paccaya, like hardness, heat arise together at the same moment, sahachata paccaya. But we don't talk about the moment when it falls away. We just talk about moment when it arises together as paccaya. It has to arise with that particular reality at the same time. But citta lasts longer than rupa. That's why it does not fall away together with rupa. So the rupa can arise at moment of citta together, but not by way of sampayutta paccaya. Another paccaya. We talk about paccaya, but we don't name it yet. But we understand first, and then when there is moment of hearing about different paccaya, we know what's what.
Dream. for those on Zoom, Dream is Kunjagrit's daughter and Tin is Kunjagrit's son. So Dream, this is also the answer to your question. When one begins to understand about realities conditioned in different ways, it begins to be clearer why there cannot be any choice or luck or I making any decision, because each reality, like the citta now, it arises like the seeing now, because the visible object has impinged on the eye sense, and karma in the past has to condition it, and there has to have been avijja, ignorance, to condition life to continue on, and there has to be this condition of Jan mentioned, sahajata pachya, to condition it to arise together with the citta seekers and so on. So this is a way to begin to slowly understand that there cannot be any self to be found, no choice to be made. But it doesn't mean that everything is hopeless, because that's just a kind of thinking that is conditioned. Because as I mentioned, even now there can be understanding of the truth right now, seeing now, hearing now, liking, disliking now, boredom now, happiness now. Each one is conditioned and conditions others. So it's not determinism or fatalism, but it's the nature of whatever arises now to be conditioned. Any other question on that?
I do know that I have a long way to go of understanding the reality now, but every day now that I've like have listened to your YouTube channel, and I try to read some more on the Bali vocab and what it means, and try to like consider it from time to time while I'm showering or I'm brushing my teeth or waking up. Sometimes I notice that a thinking arises, but then the thinking stops all of a sudden, because I realize that the thinking have started, and the flow doesn't go so well for me, because all of a sudden I realize I'm thinking, and then I realize I'm hungry, but it because I don't have good understanding yet, I realize that I have to read a lot more. But is there any like advice for new beginners to like be conscious?
And how long does the thinking last? When you say it goes on, how long does thinking last?
Sometimes for like half an hour, sometimes it's for like 2-3 seconds.
Let me ask Tin, can thinking last for half an hour?
Not in one row. Like it can arise for half an hour, but for a moment.
Is the death at every moment?
Yes.
And what dies at every moment?
Thinking.
The citta dies at each moment. The thinking dies at each moment. The vitaka chetasika, which is the main chetasika involved in thinking, it arises with almost every citta and falls away instantly. So it seems I am thinking for half an hour. But in truth, there is just citta arising with various citta seekers falling away instantly. And where is this I? It's not seen, it's not heard, it's not smelled, touched, tasted. So it's just thought about. So it's just an idea, a fantasy. So the thinking is real and it falls instantly. Is the thinking now the same as the thinking 5 minutes ago? Is it the same as even 5 seconds ago or 1 second ago? Actually, different at each moment, conditioned to arise, fall away. And it seems I'm thinking about the same subject. I'm thinking about I'm hungry. But each moment of thinking, it's thinking about different concept, different sign, different detail. And in between there's seeing and hearing. At the moment of seeing, no thinking. The moment of hearing, no thinking. So it's just because of the accumulated ignorance and memory that there is this, the thinking about, I am thinking about being hungry for half an hour. So life just exists in a moment, and there's death at each moment. nothing lasts at all, no one there at all.
But what you describe is, of course, familiar to everyone, because that's the conditioned nature of things. No one can make thinking follow a particular subject or theme or stay on track for any period of time. So it's better to appreciate that that's the way it is and just be patient, because the condition for the right kind of thinking is not making oneself think in a certain way, but lies in other factors. For example, the accumulated interest that one has in understanding more of what the Buddha taught, of his explanation of the way life is, and then having the opportunity, like we do now, to share that with other people. After a discussion, one may find there's thinking, reflecting unconsciously or subconsciously, as we say, on what was discussed. So one can see that that can be a condition for the right kind of thinking, but who knows how long it will last, when it will arise. It's all by conditions, and that's what we talk about here.
Choice to think, I am hungry?
No.
No. So whatever the thinking, whatever the seeing, whatever the hearing, not by my choice. Otherwise, there would be no thinking, I am hungry.
Is there seeing at moment of thinking? It means that seeing has fallen away. Very short right now. Thinking, speaking, hearing, and seeing. Not at the same moment at all. Only one moment at a time. So moment of seeing, there cannot be hearing or thinking at all. That's why the succession of the rapidity of that which arises and falls away, condition, nimitta, shape and form of different realities. Without nimitta, without the image of one reality, there cannot be any nimitta. So even seeing now is the nimitta of the seeing which arises and falls away in succession. That's why one single moment is so very short in splits of split seconds. And what is the development of understanding if we don't use the term meditating? Because meditating, can it understand what is there now?
Your question is, if meditating can understand?
Can it understand seeing right now?
Meditating cannot.
And what did Buddha say? Say, come back to understand the greatest virtues of the Buddha. Otherwise, we cannot understand who's the Buddha. Just his word, his teaching. But one can know how great wisdom is meant by the Buddha, the enlightenment. It's the understanding of whatever is there as it is. So even hardness now, someone might think that it's so little, it's not important at all to understand. In truth, it's not a table, it's not my finger, it's not anything. It's only that which can be experienced through the body sense only and gone like other reality. That's why all dhammas which arises are sankhara dhamma. When we talk about sankhara, there are different meaning too. But they all are that which is conditioned to arise for all kinds of citta and cetasika and rupa. But when we talk about sankhara khanda, it's not all. Only 50 cetasikas are sankhara khanda by way of upadana. And when we talk about paticchasamuppada, only cetana cetasika is sankhara. Avicca condition sankhara, and sankhara condition nama and rupa, yeah. Vinyana. Mm-hmm. That's why when we talk about sankhara, all dhammas, all conditioned dhamma, whatever arises, is sankhara dhamma. it cannot arise without its proper conditions. Okay. That's why we talk about what aspect.
So if but, you're talking about avijja in paticca samuppada, dependent origination, avijja conditions, sankhara there, like you were talking about meritorious and kusala akusala dharmas, here it's referring to chetana, karma, kusala and akusala karma. But if we're talking about sankhara dharmas, like all kinds of conditioned realities, then here it means any kind of conditioned reality. And in the context of kanda, it's just referring to the 50 chetasikas other than sanya and vedana.
That would be known. Little by little. That's why we understand what it's meant by pariyatti. Very keen, clear understanding of the truth, but not the direct experience yet. But without such level of understanding, confidence of the truth of this moment, moment of seeing is not moment of hearing, see? Just only one moment at a time. That will condition more understanding, deeper and deeper. No change, no understanding or wrong understanding. Now it lasts. Never. Just arise and falls away in split seconds. That's why the great virtues of the Buddha, taught for 45 years in details of one reality in different aspects to condition the letting go of wrong understanding. And the truth is hidden, not just in this life, eons and eons, uncountable eons ago. So the understanding letting go just a little until one day the reality now appears as it is, naturally, by conditions. And the word in Pali, bhavana, doesn't mean like we translate it as meditate or anything. It's the development of right understanding. Without understanding, it's not the teachings of the Buddha, not the word of the enlightenment. So now we understand Dhamma more. And can there be more understanding, deeper understanding, subtle understanding of just one word, of one reality? Like lopa, see, it's there now. See, just intellectually, until it's there.
There's lopa, any worry or agitation?
Sorry?
When there's lopa, any worry or agitation?
Not at the same moment.
No, and when there's lobha, no panya either. So each reality arises and falls away. It seems that there is agitation for half an hour or understanding for 5 minutes, but actually it's just a moment. And the greatest gift a parent can give their children is introducing them to Dharma. So you're very fortunate.
So what is meant by patipatti, see? What is meant by patipatti? In Thai, it is patibat. But it comes from the word patti, particularly patti, reach or attain the truth of one particular reality. We're talking about seeing, and it can be directly experienced with direct awareness. So now it does not it's not experienced directly yet, right? We just talk about it and they see it's not directly. moment of experiencing seeing, but it can be. Otherwise, there cannot be the understanding of the truth of that only, not the other reality, arises in the following. And that is vipassanayana, highly developed, not just first vipassanayana. So, no, nothing. Can it be understanding what is there now as it is, arising and falling away? Not understanding the moment of sitting, try to understand the other thing. How can there be the moment if no one sits? It's not I who sit.